Welcome to Anzac Letters Home, a project developed by Wendy Riley for O'Kane's Bay Museum. This podcast series features personal letters drawn from museum collections and letters printed in the Akaroa Mail from New Zealand Expeditionary Force soldiers, New Zealand nurses and their families, as read by members of the Christchurch Performing Arts community. Written to family and friends, the letters tell of their experiences during World War I. They write of everyday things like food, sightseeing and the doings of their friends, through to life under constant shellfire, attacks on the enemy and the deaths of their mates and fellow soldiers. For this reason, we need to add a warning. Some of the content can be harrowing to listen to. The letters which feature in this episode were written by Sergeant Major Arthur Jacobson, as read by Peter Hewson.
Quartermaster Sergeant A.R. Jacobson of the New Zealand Field Artillery writes from Ismailia under date March 11th. Things have been pretty rapid of late and the battery seems to be a sort of a shifting population. 100 men coming in one day and walking out the next. There are several Peninsula fellows here, including Jack Anderson, Sergeant L.J. Smith, Ralph Coe and one of the Hunts, whom I discovered yesterday during a kit inspection. Today, Smith and I went into Ismailia and saw the sights, which are nil. Did the town, which is worse, had a cup of coffee and afternoon tea, watched some pretty ordinary tennis, and then came home. An exciting day in these parts. This is the camp scene season, and every day the wind rises, blowing the loose sand everywhere. You eat sand, breathe sand, and even drink sand. Still, we thrive. Writing from somewhere in France, Sergeant Major A.R. Jacobson of No. 11 Battery, under date August 15th. Voices the improved spirit of the British Army and the feeling that the German spirit has declined. I am cooped up at present in a place where one can see the German lines, and of course I need not add that it is inadvisable to advertise the fact by playing about. Honestly, though, I really think we are getting the best of the opposition, and his replies of late have been fairly feeble and must be disheartening to his infantry. Morton came up the other afternoon and had lunch with me. He was very surprised to strike a white tablecloth, a three-course dinner and a stimulant to finish up with. We had a good afternoon, the officer letting me fire the gun so that I could show Morton how it was done. He yelled like the devil when one lucky shell caused a dilapidated building to collapse, and now thinks me no end of a shot. The last week or two, I have had interviews with several generals who looked me up and down as to whether I was qualified to become an officer. Well, yesterday the climax came and the GOC sent for me with a number of others. When I arrived, he asked me if I would take a commission in the Imperial Army, to which I replied, no. I was therefore turned out and expect you will have to welcome me home as a Sergeant Major if I don't get revested before then. After the interview was finished yesterday, I sloped off for a spell and only got home about midnight. My horse was very fit and I had a lovely gallop along between winding hedgerows. I am a contrary beggar. When I was at the wagon lines working hard, I got fat. Now I am here sitting peering through glasses all day and taking very little exercise. My clothes are gradually getting too big for me, though I never felt better in my life. Au contraire, our esteemed friend L.J. Smith is beginning to worry me as he is daily approaching the round tub stage. The other night, two officers wished to see artillery at work, so I arranged to take them to the place with a splendid view of a dozen or more batteries all popping away. Unfortunately, they were firing right over our heads, and the blast was pretty powerful, which one of them did not like too much for a start. Then when I ducked once or twice, being a bit of a funk naturally, they thanked me profusely and stated they really must get away. So I had to stay and watch it out on my own. It is a hard thing to describe the boom of the guns, the occasional flash of the shells across the sky, and then the flash and bang as they burst in a line while flares fly up from the trenches on both sides, lighting up no man's land between the trenches like day, while machine guns pop, 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 pop continuously.
The Anzac Letters Home podcast series was created with help from the Christchurch Performing Arts Community, the Akaroa Mail, Akaroa Museum and O'Kane's Bay Museum. This project is dedicated to the memory of the Banks Peninsula men and women who served in World War I and in some cases made the ultimate sacrifice. To tell their stories of war and learn from these first-hand experiences so we may never forget.